This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
It is 7:45. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 High FM. Professor Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communications brings us the Israel Report this morning. A very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. How are you today?
Good morning, Howard. I'm fine.
It's a very strange time in Israel because yesterday was Holocaust Memorial Day, Yom HaShoah. Next week is Yom HaZikaron. Then it moves to Yom HaAtzmaut. It's an very intense emotional time, I would imagine.
Yes, you're absolutely right. This is the time of the year when you think about the past, the present, and the future. And we think about the Holocaust on October 7. We should not call it another version of the Holocaust, but there were elements in October 7 that remind us of the Holocaust. And yesterday, there were many radio programs comparing the Holocaust with what happened on October 7. And then Yom HaTzmaut, you know, you go from the Holocaust to the creation of Israel and the war that Israel is being fighting with its enemies. And these enemies want to destroy Israel. They don't even hide their intentions. Iran and proxies and Palestinians and some Arab states, this is what they want. They want to liquidate Israel, eliminate from the Middle East. And this brings us back to the Holocaust. So the transition here from Yom HaShoah to Yom HaAtzmaut and to Yom HaZikaron, you know, you have the Memorial Day is just one day before Yom HaAtzmaut of next Independence Day next week. So every event like that is really shattering. And if you combine all of them, it's really a very, as you said, a very emotional period of time in the life of the state.
In terms of there was a plea by the president for people to unite, not to destroy Israel from within. This is a time where, because emotions are high, I would imagine there is a lot of anger and frustration that can be associated with loss, that can be associated with blame, and therefore can be a time of disunity. How is that being managed?
No, this is the problem. The only factor, the only institution that could unite the country is the government. And unfortunately, there are elements, extreme elements in the government that don't care about unity. They care only about sectorial interests. And therefore, the Prime Minister is a key figure in that realm. But he's not doing enough to assure unity. There are all kinds of issues that, including judicial revolution or overhaul, that I think contributed to the October 7 massacre. And we see the Minister of Justice that is now trying to resume that judicial revolution. And he is not speaking to the President of the Supreme Court. And there are certain ministers who would not speak to the head of the Shin Bet. This is a shameful condition, especially at this time of the year, especially at this time when Israel is still fighting Hamas in Gaza and the Houthis and some others, so in Iran. So I think the main responsibility is at the hands of the prime minister. He's not doing enough to unite the country. He is interested in uniting, but he's under pressure from his coalition members, and this is why we don't have it at the levels that we require. But I think that the public may exert pressure on the government and the prime minister during these days between the Holocaust and Independence Day. And the public has a say about it. I imagine that during the Memorial Day as well as the Independence Day, we will see some protests, especially from the families of the hostages, those who have been released and those who are still in captivity. They are applying more and more pressure on the government to end the tragedy and conclude one deal that would release all the hostages and end the war. This is the condition that Hamas has been setting from day one, from October 8th. But again, I go back to the more extreme elements in the coalition who would not support that kind of an agreement. But I must say that if you look at what is happening in Gaza today, Israel is using low-level force. The threat is to increase the level of force if Hamas does not negotiate a deal. And the deal that the government is interested in completing these days is like another interim deal, which would release, say, 10, 12, 15 hostages and some bodies in return for, say, a ceasefire of 2 months or maybe 3 months. But the government, this government, is not yet prepared to declare an end to the war and withdrawal from Gaza. These are Hamas's conditions for the release of all the hostages. So the head of the Mossad is today in Qatar, and in the last 2 weeks we heard much about Egyptian mediation, and we thought that this would be more successful than the previous Qatar-Egyptian mediation. But it seems now that the Egyptian mediation has failed, and therefore the head of the Mossad is now in Qatar trying to restart negotiations and perhaps getting another, like an interim deal. This is where we are now. The government is now threatening to increase the military operation in Gaza, which would mean capturing territory and additional territory. Apparently, this is the thinking. The thinking is that nothing could persuade Hamas, a terrible, evil terrorist organization, to release the hostages unless Israel is taking land. Taking land means that that the people are removed and Israel controls the area. So losing land, so to speak, seems to create the strongest pressure on Hamas. So the combination of a threat to increase military operations as well as capturing certain lands, I think this is the assumption here that would persuade Hamas to agree to another agreement, ceasefire, releasing of hostages agreement. But I think that the window of opportunity for achieving this kind of agreement is no more than, say, 2 weeks. After that, I think that either there's an agreement or Israel is going to substantially increase its military operations in Gaza, trying to take strategic assets from Hamas, killing as many fighters as possible, and taking some land.
Is it about the land itself, Because we're always told it's not about the land, it's about wanting to destroy Israel and Jews. So is it therefore about the land, or is it about that the fact that land, taking away land from Hamas, is a symbol of defeat?
That's right. That's exactly right. So Hamas does not care about Gazans. Mm. Israel is concerned about Gazans, about civilian Gazans, more than Hamas. Hamas couldn't care less.
Mm.
They don't care about their own soldiers and conditions of life in Gaza. They are only concerned, it seems that they are only concerned about land. And if they feel that Israel is very serious in simply taking land and keep it until they agree to release all the hostages. And see, the long-term issue is this. Hamas has to leave Gaza. This is not only the Israeli position. This is also the position of all the Arab countries, the Sunni Arab countries, those countries that are expected to reconstruct Gaza. Who's going to construct Gaza? Billions of dollars for several years. And they say Hamas has to go. And even Mahmoud Abbas, a few days ago, I think it was 2 days ago, he really severely criticized Hamas and said he called them sons of dogs.
Mm. Mm.
And he said that they're responsible for the destruction of Gaza and they should go. So Hamas has to leave Gaza, but Hamas refuses to leave Gaza. The only way Gaza could be reconstructed is by demilitarize the whole area. So Hamas would be required to surrender its weapons. And this is, they don't want to do it. I go back to capturing of land. If anything could convince Hamas to agree to end the war and leave Gaza altogether, is that threat of capturing land and tell Hamas that if they don't agree with Israel about releasing of the hostages and have a ceasefire, they would lose assets. That's the idea, assets, both military and territorial.
What is the current read on the new Syrian government? Because there seem to be some overtures towards peace with Israel there. Can this be trusted?
That's an excellent question. There were a number of Republican senators visiting Syria and al-Jolani, and he said that under certain conditions, he might join the Abraham Accords, which would mean some recognition of Israel, maybe some diplomatic relations. But the conditions probably would require Israeli withdrawal from the Golan Heights. But what motivates al-Jolani? He was a member of al-Qaeda.
Yes.
He was a fighter in al-Qaeda, so how much you can trust him? But there are severe economic sanctions that the United States and other countries have imposed on Bashar Assad, Syria. And thus far, the United States has not removed those sanctions. And if we earlier talked about reconstruction of Gaza, Syria is also in ruins. And it's being estimated that about $500 billion would be needed in the next 5 years to rebuild Syria. So I think al-Jolani creates the impression that he is a moderate leader, that he left his past, and that he is interested in new relationship with the United States. And he thinks that maybe some overtures toward Israel would help him with the United States.
So this approach will have to be... Right, so it's got a much broader political perspective.
Correct. So this will have to be tested in the next few weeks.
That is where we leave it. Thank you, as always. That is Professor Eitan Gilboa from the Center for International Communication bringing us the Israel Report this morning.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.